morning, diners and travelers. You're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig, and we are still re-entering, are we not, Rabbit, from our grand adventure in Portugal and Spain.
I think we're re-entering would be a good description, but we did have a wonderful time, and sometimes you just have to pay the price because there's a lot to do when you get home. So
yeah, everything was broken.
Yeah, we seem to have been running around a lot, but we can...
Things fell off the wall, the car door's broken.
Yeah, but we can still think back about what a wonderful time we had and some delightful people that we met that we're going to bring you over the next several weeks. And it was really hard to figure out just exactly where to start. But since Lisbon was the first place we went,
we decided it probably made
sense to start there.
And although I really do need to study Portuguese. I mean, I can read some, but it's the sound that I don't know.
Okay.
I can't
let's set forth what we're going to try to do in the next two programs. And some of this is a little bit uncertain, so bear with me if it turns out that next week's program on the 27th doesn't sound quite the same as I thought it might.
Before we forget,
all you Lisbonistas and all you Alicantians, and all you On the Menu listeners around the world, it is Father's Day here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh,
you're supposed to do it. Well,
because you're a father.
Well, you forgot it before.
I started to do it.
Well, then do it.
Yeah, so happy Father's Day.
There we go.
Happy Father's Day, Rabbit, Peter.
Okay, there we go.
Happy Father's Day, Adam, our son.
And happy Father's Day to everyone else we know.
Exactly.
Who's a father. And we can even say happy Father's Day to all you mothers, too, if you like. But anyway, back to the program. Trying to decide where to start. So we decided to start with three restaurants which are sort of among the most modern in their interpretation of Portuguese food. And there's a reason for that, which I'll go on to a second. And one which is so dramatically modern that it's really quite remarkable. And that interview itself is a trailer. Not a trailer. A preview. What do they call previews? A trailer's after. What comes before?
I don't know.
Now you'll remember the word in just a second. Just like they used to do at the movies, we had the opportunity to go to two restaurants. In both cases, the chefs are away. They're two of Lisbon's best restaurants, and we are hoping in the next few days, in time for next week's program, that we will, in fact, have had a chance to talk to the chef at a really excellent restaurant we went to the first day we were there called Tavares, and a dramatically new one called Manifesto. Both cases, the chefs were away, in one case in Mexico, in the other case in Moscow. The Moscow-bound chef has returned and is supposed to talk to us within the next few days, and we haven't heard from the chef of Manifesto yet, but I'm sure we will shortly. So we'll be including them in next week's program.
And I'd like to say that, again, whatever your preconceived ideas of Portugal and Spain are, there is a huge spectrum, a range of restaurant styles, as there is even now, I mean, even in Italy there is too, ranging from the traditional food at all different levels to modern experimental stuff. And I think it's the result of what's happened in Spain to stimulate this kind of experimentation.
Undoubtedly it is, because the chefs that we met were influenced by or had actually worked with people in Spain, including Ferran Adrià and Juan Maria Arzak and people like that. So they learned their trade the traditional way. They have wonderful traditional ingredients, seafood being the most outstanding, and we had great interpretations of that wherever we went.
And we also got a bit of advice. If you want the down-home, homey, neighborhood, traditional restaurants, don't ask the concierge at the hotel.
Ask
a cab driver.
Because we never went to any restaurant recommended by a cab driver, so we're really not sure. That's such great advice. But let's get moving on here. Nobody wants to listen to us yatter around all day.
Well, no. I mean, I think that it's interesting that it's very strong. I mean, this happens all around the world, but there is a very strong tradition in Portugal and Spain, especially Portugal, of the concierges at the hotel getting paid for recommendations.
We never saw money changing hands, but we...
No, I can say that if I want. It's a free world.
But we do have our suspicions.
Not a free world,
anyway, regardless, one of the restaurants that we went to that was really most interesting and quite modern is a restaurant called Boca.
Can I interject one more thing? We did most of our research in advance of going there.
Yes, we did.
Okay. Go ahead.
And the result of that research is the interviews you'll hear and the meals we enjoyed. And as to who did that and whether or not somebody should thank him for doing it, that's another question altogether. But hopefully you will anyway when you go to Lisbon and you enjoy these wonderful places. So back to the first place.
Boca. I loved it.
The owner, who is not a chef, shares Peter's first name, which is always interesting.
There are lots of Pedros.
So, yeah, there are lots of Pedros in Portugal. There are lots of Pedros in Spain as well.
Yes.
And there are Pedros on this program, if you like. But over to Boca Restaurant.
In Lisbon, we're at Boca, which means the same in Portuguese as in Italian, mouth, which is a great name for a restaurant, except that it's spelt with two C's for aesthetic reasons, and because it gives them a wonderful back-to-back C logo. We're looking at a very, very smart space. It's just beautifully, contemporarily decorated. And we're talking to, first, Pedro Freitas. Oh, Pedro, I hope I did that one right.
That's very close.
Who is the restaurateur, the owner of this establishment, and we're going to be also talking to Miguel Palma, who is the sous chef, and the chef is away at the moment, and his name is
Alexandre Silva.
Uh-huh. So here we are, and what actually is your background? Because I meant to ask you that before, Pedro, but I haven't.
My background, well, not much really. I have a degree on hotel management. I've always loved restaurants and hotel life. I have family background in hotel business.
In restaurant business?
F&B in hotel.
Food and beverage, okay.
At hotels. This is what I love to do. And ever since I got out of college, I wanted to have my restaurant, my place, and be able to build something different.
How old is Boca?
2 years. It opened February 20, 2008.
Uh-huh. And it's gained an enormous and good reputation in those 2 years. Congratulations.
Thank you. We've had our recognition, yes. It does feel good.
And you are native to Lisbon.
No, I'm from Madeira Island. I've only been in Lisbon for 10 years now.
You're from where?
Madeira Island.
Madeira Island. So wonderful. Are they beautiful?
Lovely.
Only one. Okay.
No, there's actually two habitable, two with the population and several inhabited ones. That's Madeira and Porto Santo.
And what about you, Miguel? Are you from Lisbon?
Yes.
You're a native?
Yeah.
And you have been a sous chef for how long?
For this year.
This
I was promoted for a sous chef this year.
And I guess you get to do a lot on your own now that Alexandre, there's my Portuguese getting screwed up again, travels, or is it he doesn't usually travel?
Yes, mostly in our country, but Spain also.
Now, Pedro, how would you characterize the food at this restaurant?
Well, that would be, better for the cooks to explain. But I think this is creative cuisine with always the chef reinterpretation of Portuguese food with some other foreign ingredients that he thinks will go well with our own. Because we have good products here, but we're not the best. Since there are also a lot of good products Broadway, so abroad, and we have to pick them all up and create something new. And
did you say you do not have great products at Portugal?
No, we do. We have great products, but there are a lot of great products in the world. So we have probably the best pork there is, but we don't have beef there. So we have to get best from everywhere.
And do you have goat?
Yes, we do have goat, and there's a good goat here.
And seafood, of course, you have a ton of seafood.
And great fish, great fish. But on the meats, I believe that the pork is the best one. The Portuguese pork, I think, is...
The Spaniards are going to hate you for that.
Well, it's called Iberian pork, so... When you say Portuguese, they say Spanish. It's from the Iberian coast.
Oh, I mean, I just love Iberian pork. But wow.
I think what Alexandre and his team like to do is pick up Portuguese recipes and give it their touch to it, because the traditional Portuguese food is very rich in flavor, but it's a very heavy cuisine. They didn't care about aesthetics in traditional Portuguese food, and also it's not very healthy. So what you have to do is pick up our flavors, which are really, really good, and make it more presentable, more healthier, now, modern.
Yeah.
Miguel, how experimental is your kitchen?
We base our way of cooking is based on a traditional way, okay? Some say that molecular cuisine is essential. We show that we know how to do it, okay. But it's not our type of cook something. We have some dishes in which we put one appointment or two of molecular cuisine or not so traditional food, but we just want to show to the client that we know also how to do it, but it's not our way of being the kitchen.
But is there all of a sudden a great demand for because of the success of all the San Sebastian chefs and of Fair and Adria, is there a great demand for more molecular gastronomy and experimental cuisine?
Not in Portugal, I think.
Not in Portugal, but in Spain, it's everywhere.
Personally, I believe that the market can reach every type of food. In our team, we like the cuisine, we like the new tendencies, but we don't want to have our new based on it. We want to base it the real flavor, the real texture, the respect for the product. We don't want to manipulate the
gimmicks. You don't want gimmicks. You want real flavor.
We use it, but just a point here, a point there. It's not our way of being in the kitchen. It's not our.
Now, who designed this decor, Pedro? I mean, it's very smart.
Well, we had the architect was her name is Silvia Costa, Silvia Reina Costa, but it has a lot of me also.
How did I guess
I
that?
Like the core. I like the core.
I like the sculptural wall out there.
Well, that she found that. That was made by an artist, which is
really?
Her friend. I think it was great. This photo is taken by the chef's father, Ashen Silva. He's a photographer.
And you've got an open kitchen, which is fun to watch.
Yes, it gives your clients confidence, and I think it's nice to watch. Many people like to watch it. Yeah. If you don't want to watch it, we'll set them at the other restaurant. But these are the two most requested tables in the restaurant.
We're right outside the
kitchen.
Now, tell me, you referred to our client. Who comes here?
Well, I was saying, unfortunately, modern cuisine isn't still the most looked for by the Portuguese. So the Portuguese are very traditionalist, yes. So we have a lot of Portuguese, but it should be 50% Portuguese, 50% foreigners. The Portuguese, we have people that like experiences, because we do have more traditional flavors cooked in somehow not a molecular way, but it's not the traditional way either. We have low temperature cooking. It's a different way to present the food, and the more inventive people come here. Not inventive, the more adventurous.
Adventurous,
yes,
right.
That's the word. And we have a lot of foreigners.
Maybe you can describe sort of what part of the city we're in. It's a little bit tricky getting here because the street you're on has two parts.
Three, actually.
Three parts.
Yes. Three non-connecting parts. Well, this is city center.
Okay.
Not downtown, but city center. It's a mixed area. We have a lot of residents here, but a lot of high-class spaces. It's not working space, I want to say, but I have a lot of law firms here, that type of, okay. of areas. And it's really the heart of the city. You could give 5 minutes away from Marquês Pombal, which is the most central point of Lisbon. We do have some...
It seems like a really great location, yeah.
It's a good location for business lunches. And also, we're especially in a dining restaurant. And the road just next to this one is very moved. They have a lot of movement, nightlife.
And you're also very near probably the best restaurant in the
best hotel
in Lisbon, the Four Seasons Hotel.
The Four Seasons, yes, a lot
and
of
that would be your clientele.
A lot of people think Four Seasons is the best to be the best one. I like some others best.
Tell me about
I shouldn't say that. The Four Seasons is a lot. It's a brand hotel.
Oh yeah, I mean we know the Four Seasons.
You'll have the same Four Seasons every city you go. I like the small design hotels best. Not only design, but boutique hotels.
Boutique.
I'm more into boutique hotels.
Because next time we come, we'll try one of those.
I'm more into boutique hotels. You have Bayreuth Hotel, which is fantastic. It's beautiful. You have Hotel de Lapa.
Pristana Palace.
The Heritage is a chain of small hotels here, all in Lisbon. They're very nice.
See, next time, and we're going to be looking for one of these, I'm going to talk about some of the dishes. I have a menu in front of me here. And what's the difference between these two menus?
One is the main menu, the other is dessert.
Okay. I'm looking at this menu. Let's ask Miguel. Like, what are some of your hot dishes here? I mean, not hot meaning temperature, but like popular.
In the cold starters, maybe the...
Which one? The smoked duck, sardine, and scallop.
The mackerel.
Oh, the mackerel.
Yes.
You have fabulous mackerel. We had some yesterday at another
gorgeous
restaurant.
Mackerel.
Oh.
It's not... This dish was a challenge for the team. The mackerel is a fish that it's not.
Yeah, there's not many.
Não há muita o hábito de comprar.
There's not a tradition of consuming it because it was considered a poor fish.
Oh, yeah,
fish from
yeah.
the poor.
So we have great mackerel in Portugal, but people are not used to eat it. Yeah. So the challenge was. Take the fish and make something very, very appealing for everybody, yeah. And I think that the objective was achieved.
And you have, it sounds like strawberries, tea, and porcini mushrooms sounds a bit experimental.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Served,
yeah.
served with tea jelly, I can envision that one.
That is the most experimental.
Yeah.
In the whole menu, maybe.
So I got an example of extremes, I guess. What are some of the other dishes?
My favorite ones would be salmon salad and then the entrees, which put in the celery there. They've made a celery compote, which is just delicious.
Celery root, I've known about it for years, but suddenly chefs are doing really interesting things with it.
They love it here.
How do they? And, of course, seafood. Here we have scallops, seaweed, and lemongrass.
Yes. Scallops. We used to have great scallops in Portugal. Unfortunately, they let it die.
No. I mean, I understood that one of the few places in the world that's not overfished is Portugal.
Yes, but they just caught it when they weren't big enough. So they let them die. So you can't find good scallops now in Portugal, but we have a scallops tradition. And I would go.
What's your best pork dish?
We only have one pork fish right now.
I see. The Iberian pork, padron, peppers, and nectarines.
Yes.
Sounds
that is
good.
Very, very nice. And also, I think a fun dish would be surf and turf.
Monkfish, poached.
With
daiquiris. That's sous vide, is that?
Yes.
Sous vide is, yes, it's...
With duck risotto.
But duck risotto, it's traditional. We have a traditional dish with this duck rice. and they've picked it up and made it a risotto, and it's very nice.
Now tell me about these soft shell crab. My favorite dish of the world is soft shell crabs.
Yeah.
How are these?
It's a seafood risotto. It's a very simple plate, but the result is very, very good.
And it's very intense flavored.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Really, really intense flavors, the risotto.
Pedro, in terms of new developments, you have added a second operation. Tell us about it.
Yes, we have the main restaurant, which is I would define it as a fine dining restaurant. And downstairs, we've opened a gastro bar. It's a totally different concept. They don't get mixed with one another, which is it's a little bit of a tougher version of our food. Lighter meals, more to share, and with a lot of cocktails to go with it.
Oh, spiffy cocktails. You mean smart cocktails?
Yes, it is. And it's just opened, so it's still building up, but I think it will be also a nice experience.
Great. Well, I wish you luck with that as well.
Thank you.
Okay, so we know that the food here is good. The decor is wonderful. You indicate that if it's not a holiday at lunchtime, you get a good crowd and a lot of ambience.
No.
How to reserve? Do you take reservations? Yes.
Yes, we do.
You prefer to have them, what, by email, by phone?
Either way.
And how about let's do your website?
www.boca.pt.
It's
yes,
Portugal.
It's Portugal.
Well, listeners, I think this is a must stop. Do check it out on the web. You'll be impressed. And I can hardly wait for lunch.
I hope you enjoy it.
I'm sure you will. I have a lot of confidence in you. And in fact, I like your chef's shirt here. I wouldn't mind wearing that.
Well, we could see if you can spare one.
Okay, thank you both for talking to on
thank
the menu.
You. Thank you. Very good to have met you.
And
I hope you enjoy your meal.
I'm sure I will. And now we'll take a break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back. Continue along.
Well, you're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig, just in case you needed to be reminded.
And I think that they probably could figure that out.
Well, they probably could.
But anyway, continue along with us on our adventure in Lisbon. What's next?
Yeah, here's another restaurant where traditional values are being improved by greater attention to penetration, greater attention to more modern culinary trends, but still at the core, it's Portuguese ingredients served with a Portuguese approach to the ingredients. A restaurant called Faz Figura, which had been in existence for a number of decades, but was bought recently by Pedro and his brother and a group of other investors. And they've brought back a restaurant which they readily admitted had fallen on tough times and wasn't doing such a good job. They've modernized it. It's a very attractive establishment. It's a fascinating menu and a very, very interesting gentleman as the chef and part owner that we talked to.
Right.
So here's Pedro of Faz Figura.
I guess the first question I'm going to ask chef owner Pedro Diaz is, what does Faz Figura mean? It's Faz Figura.
It's an expression, something we used to say, when something Faz Figura, it means that it stands out, basically.
Stands out.
Well, the name it wasn't our choice. We inherited it. But it was this. It has been here for 35 years, something like that. So we always knew that it became a brand. It's actually quite common when I'm on the street or take a cab or whatever, comes up and says, I have a restaurant. What's it called? Faz Figura. Oh, I know that. Never been there, but I know the name. And so the hard part was to give it some qualities again, because it was, when we picked it up, it was, people were starting to say, okay, it's bad now. Well, uh-huh. It used to be good.
Yeah,
so we had to turn it around.
Now, you have an interesting background. I mean, you really, your day job for most of your life is broadcast media. radio and television.
For almost 20 years, yeah.
Yeah. And let
me just add, I've done pretty much everything since politics, sports, war journalism, been to Bosnia, Iraq, Israel,
really?
You name it. And I think it's the best job in the world. But, you know, it, 20 years, it's a long time. And the reality of journalism in Portugal these days doesn't suit me very much.
Well,
I had this other passion and demanding my attention.
Explain that about how your whole, it's in your blood. Cooking is in your family's roots.
I think the Portuguese have a big love for the table. There are very few things that we can solve over lunch, I think. And in my family, my grandmother was a country woman. She turned everything. She had a Midas touch, you know. You would put her into a kitchen and amazing things would come out. And she taught my grandfather how to cook. He is alive. She's not. He's 93 now. And
oh, wow.
He doesn't cook anymore. But he used to make one or two things that was really amazing. My father cooks, my brother cooks, everyone cooks. And I've been cooking since I was a boy.
Yeah, but now you're doing it full-time.
Yes, it's completely different, of course.
It better be good.
Yeah, but see, you know, when I first had my own house, I bought an apartment, and I always had friends over there, you know, 10, 20, 30. It was kind of a small restaurant. So, but it's completely different, of course. But I'm really having fun now. You know, it is a lot of work, and I think it's that kind of business. You do have to love it. If you don't, you'll just go crazy. It's really hard. So you do have to work hard. But if you love it, and I do, and it'll be fun at the same time.
Now, this is a beautiful restaurant. You probably totally redecorated it when you bought it.
We did, yeah.
It's so airy and spacious. How big is it? How many seats?
Well, in the winter we have about 80. In the summer, with the terrace, 120.
So it's a good size. And is
yes.
The bar busy? Bar busy place?
No, the bar not really. But you know, we have these two rooms, 40 seats over there, another 40 over here. That one is almost every day it's full. This one it depends, but most of the time it's also packed. Out there. That's the best part for me, you know, when the weather allows it.
You mean the terrace?
Yeah, the terrace is just amazing.
Yeah, and it looks wonderful. It looks.
It is. It is, especially when in those summer nights, you know, you get to see the sunset, and it's really a really nice place, because the sun only sets about 9:30, 10, something like that.
But how did you turn this around? How did you get back on track with your brand, with the name of the restaurant, and making it fresh and interesting and quality?
The name really helps, because when something is open for 35 years, a lot of people know it. As soon as they realize that, okay, it's good again, they start coming, you know. A business that's open for 35 years has ups and downs, of course. And it was really down when we picked it up. But I think it was quick for people to realize that it was good again. It was a nice place to come again.
And who comes? Who comes here? Who are your diners?
It's quite a mix, you know. There are people who are clearly customers from the old days, you know, from the previous management. Some, not much. It depends. At lunch, we do have a lot of businessmen, a lot of politicians. It's kind of a tradition here. It comes from previous management, because the founder of the restaurant had vast political acquaintances and ties. So it became a tradition. At night time, in dinners, we do have more couples, you know, coming to see the view, have a quite romantic dinner.
Yeah, we should mention the very nice view you've got.
And some
here.
Families, especially in the weekends, of course, you know.
Now, you're in the old section. What's the name of the section?
Out here, Alfama.
Uh-huh. I mean, so you would get a lot of tourists, too, no?
We do. We do have a lot of tourists. Well, because we are near Alfama and the Fado Museum and the National Pantheon, and all that, because of the view, of course, and because we managed to get a few good reviews in quite a few guides in several countries. So we do have a lot of...
Yeah, I think that's how we found you, is...
No, that's about a year ago. The restaurant was about three quarters full, and I was a couple came. They are regulars, and I was talking to them, and suddenly we realized they were probably the only Portuguese in the room. You know, there were about at least 30 people having dinner, and they were the only Portuguese in the room. That's not very common, but anyway, we do have a lot of tourists. Yeah.
Well, you have very good English. I mean,
I was a reporter for 20 years. I had to, you know.
You had to.
But I learned it when I was a kid. You know, I was that kind of kid that's always reading the record inlets and that kind of thing. I love English, so. I learned it at school, of course, and then I had to.
Well, tell us about this food. I'm sitting at the menu, and I'll be right up front honest about it. We have not eaten yet, but I'm looking forward to it. Tell us what style it is and some of your...
Well, our concept is to look for a good marriage between the traditional Portuguese food and recipes and flavors and a more modern approach, you know. Nowadays, people just don't want to eat. They want to have an experience, let's say, you know. They want their plate to look good. They want good service. They want all that. Because a few years ago, in Portugal, you would eat very well, but they would just throw a plate in
food.
Yes.
A number of people said that's true.
They would throw a plate full of food in front of you, very tasty, you know, but no presentation whatsoever, and the service was bad. Slowly, things started changing, you know. And nowadays, I think that the customers are becoming much more demanding, and they want good service, they want good presentation, they want to have a nice evening.
Okay, but this is primarily... the food of your country.
Yes, I would say so.
But modernized.
Yeah, that's pretty much the concept. There are a few things, as you can see over there, that we only do if you pre-order it.
What does that mean?
That means that's a few things that we believe that they will only be as good as they can be or as they should be if you pre-order it. I'll give you an example. The first one you have over there, the capon, that the preparation itself takes 48 hours. So if you don't pre-order it, I could find a way.
For 48 hours.
Yeah, but I could prepare it in a way that I could have it every day, but it would be a risk because
it marinates and all that stuff.
It marinates. You have to soak it for.
The problem is you might not having prepared it. You might not sell it.
Yes, that's one of the things. And
goat, you can't. Can we get goat today? No.
Cabrito, no. No, not today, no. But and that those things you see over there, we also have quite a few agreements with gastronomical associations in what we in Portugal call the confrarias. They are associations that they try to defend the traditional products and the traditional way of cooking quite a few things, and some of those you see over there are what came out of those agreements. So if people who order it know for sure that's the real stuff, you know, that's why we only do it pre-order. Of course, in our regular menu, we do have some of the same products, and we do have traditional things as well. But for instance, you have over here the cataplana.
I've always wanted one of those.
Cataplana is the name of it's a copper pot.
It's the pot. They turn it over.
It's the pot we cook it in. So it's a copper. It's made of copper, and it's round on the bottom and on top. So it seals. So pretty much it's we steam cook things, but in that case we do it with the fish and the shrimps and clams, a bit of onion, tomato. And it's very tasty, and it's a traditional thing. And you can find other things that are they always tend to have the root is traditional, but you can twist it around a bit, you know. For instance, this is one of our best sellers, the octopus. The octopus, if
I think I'd like that one.
Sure, we'll taste it in a minute, no problem. That's if you go to any snack bar or whatever in Portugal, it is very common for you to find the octopus salad. You know,
right? I've been eating it like crazy.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with it, but it reminds you of it. So that's what we're looking for. You know, uh-huh. The root is there, the traditional root, but it's different, and it's a beautiful dish. And
you have beautiful, beautiful octopus in that.
That one is, well, it's boiled, then we cover it with corn flour, and we fry it a bit, so it's crunchy. You know, it's very nice.
You also have skate ray.
Yes, we do.
I haven't seen that on the menu. It in the market, but I didn't see it on the menu.
No, and it's a funny thing because even some Portuguese are when we say, okay, have the ray wing. I don't know, you know, because it's a bit unusual to find it in restaurants, but it's a very nice dish. And as far as fish goes, I think... Portugal is one of the best countries in the world to have fish.
Yeah, we have a Portuguese chef friend, and we were talking before we came, and he said, "Eat seafood."
Yes, no, because I have a regular customer is Portuguese, but he's been working. He was a chef. He's retired now. He worked in France and Belgium for a lot of years, and he worked with Paul Bocuse. And in his kitchen, and he told me, well, that's what he told me, that Bocuse once told him, well, okay, when I'm going to cook sea bass, I'll bring them from Portugal. Everything else is just an imitation. I don't know if it's true or not, but anyway, but we do have great, great fish.
Yeah, well, that's good. You just had a birthday.
I did.
And what did you have? How long?
38.
38. Yeah. Oh my, that's really old. tell me what you had for your birthday meal.
Oh, I had I had one of the pre-ordered ones. I had this one, the veal from Lafões.
What is that?
Lafões. It's a place in the north of Portugal, center north, and the secret in that one is the veal itself, because they are very small. Veals, you know, the only thing they eat before they are slaughtered is their mother's milk.
Oh, so it's that, so it's
really,
suckling.
Really, really, really tender. Powder. Yeah, it's really tender, it's really nice, and it's, you do
so
it over roasted.
If they've been eating mother's milk, that means they're humanely raised and
Yes, and it's we do have small productions, but we have very good products in Portugal, very good meats, certified meats and cheese and what's the problem is the productions are most of the times quite small, you know.
That's it now, the artisanal stuff.
Yes.
Scale. But there's a change in the whole climate of restaurants here, isn't there?
I think so. We do have enormous amount of restaurants, you know, three times as much as in Spain, for instance.
Three times.
Yeah, so the competition is very harsh, and now we have a crisis everywhere, you know, and in Portugal on 2009.
Financial crisis.
Yes, the restaurant business in Portugal in the last year was down by about 25%. That's a lot.
Yeah, we
were lucky.
Las Vegas was down 40%.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to you know, business remained pretty much the same, which is very nice considering what's going on out there. I think, and I've been talking to other owners and other people in the business, and I think everyone's very worried. I think everyone is trying to anticipate what's coming next because, you know, there really is a crisis.
Oh, yeah.
And you can notice it on people's behaviors. And I notice every day, you know. And they don't ask for wine anymore. They share a course or whatever. Or they skip the appetizer. Little things that because I have more customers this year than last year.
If
but they are spending
still
much,
out,
much.
But they're not.
They're spending less.
Yeah. Well, now, how do people get reservations here. You must have a website, right?
We do have a website, yes. www.fazfigura.com.
And that's spelled?
That's spelled FAZFIGURA.
.com.
Or you can just call us. Yep. Yeah. The number is 21-886-8981. The Portugal prefix is 00351.
Well, listeners, I like this guy, so I'm expecting to have a good meal.
Well, I hope so. We'll see. But anyway, you know, the thing is, I think that in this business, you have to love it, and it's very important to show that to people. If you love what you're doing, and I think it will show out in your food. And in Portugal, like I was saying, there's a big love for the table. We really like to welcome people, you know. And I think that food is culture. So, and I worked around the country for 20 years, and I was fortunate enough to see a lot of things, to taste a lot of things, and now I can bring it here all and try to pass it on a bit, you know. I think Portugal is an amazing thing as far as food is concerned. This is a very small country, if you think about it, you know, 800 kilometers for 300, something like that. And in such a small space, we have an enormous amount of products, meat, wine, cheese, fruit, whatever. And the recipes are endless. So I don't know. I've been around a bit, and there are not that much countries that can say the same thing. This is a very rich country as far as food is concerned, and maybe that's why we love it so much. I don't know. There's a funny Portuguese comedian who sometimes says, "Oh, Portugal is a great country to live in. Great, amazing." Great food, great weather. It's really nice. It has a bit too much Portuguese in it, but apart from that, it's really nice. But I think that you know, and for your listeners, because if they do decide to come to Lisbon or Portugal and experience for themselves, well, a week is maybe it's too short. You know, they should, because from the south up to the north, it's a really rich country, and as far as food is concerned, and the landscapes and all that. So, I think that they should try, because we do have a lot to offer.
Hope we will encourage them to do so. Pedro, I'm looking forward to what we're going to be eating, and I've certainly enjoyed talking to you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Same here.
So is it time to take another break?
It is time to take another break.
Then that's what we will do.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back, and what's coming up? I like when you say this.
You like when I say this, Ollie? I'm sure I'm butchering it, but it's Sen Maneras, which means something like really good manners, or 100 good manners, or 100
different ways.
I'm not really sure. And that's referring to the fact that there are at least 364-day ways to fix bacalhau in Portugal. You're allowed to have something else on the 366th day once every 4 years. But seriously, this is a really fascinating story, because the chef at this restaurant, whose wife was very helpful in making the arrangements and also in translating for us, because this is a translation into English and Portuguese in response to our questions. So you'll have fun if you're Portuguese, and you'll have patience if you're English, and you'll have the opportunity to understand what was going on. But the chef is originally from Serbia, but he calls himself Yugoslavian, because when he was living there, it was still Yugoslavia. But he's adopted Portugal as his home, and he's having just an absolutely wonderful time challenging people with their eyes and their taste buds and some novel ideas, and all with a smile on his face, having just a wonderful time. So 100 Maneras is a place you need to go. And I just hope you don't get the taxi driver we got, and you'll understand why as we go through the interview.
Well, we're up for, again, another culinary adventure and a little bit, I think, also the language adventure, because we're at a restaurant called, you're going to, Monica, correct me here, Simonides.
Almost. Simonides.
Okay.
It's very close.
And we're going to be interviewing the owner, who is Lubomir Stanisic.
Very nice.
Yes, very nice.
Is that good? Aha. and I think you'll understand, and we're going to have some translation going on as we're doing the interview. When we ask the chef, owner, who is Lubomir, tell us what his background is and how he ended up in Lisbon, Portugal.
Comecei com 18 anos, quando cheguei em Portugal, numa experiência de viagens simples, entrando no país como um viajante ainda sem objetivos de culinária. De gostar tanto do país, apaixonei-me e comecei a procurar o primeiro emprego da cozinha.
He started at 18 when first arrived at Portugal. He is now 32 tomorrow.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
But he was born where?
He was born in Sarajevo, now part of Bosnia. In that time it was Yugoslavia yet. And then he went to Belgrade to study and to live with his family. So that's why he always speaks about himself like Yugoslavian and not like Serbian or Bosnian. Because he's all over the country, Yugoslavia.
Now this restaurant is small and very personal. As I understand it, you get to eat what's on the menu, period. Is that correct?
A ideia de o restaurante ser pequeno, desde o início foi ideia abri-lo como se fosse a nossa própria casa. Aliás, a minha casa, e receber as pessoas como se estivessem de lá. Por isso, quando vamos à casa de alguém, nós escolhemos o que vamos comer.
The idea when he first opened this restaurant was opened in January 2009, it was like being at home. So, you are at Lubomir's home, and since that you don't have what to order. You are at his home, so you eat his food, his homey food.
It makes great sense. Yeah.
Like informal and familiar kind of cuisine and approach to the customer.
Now, is it homey cuisine? Because I'm looking at the degustation, the menu
tasting menu.
And the first item is codfish clothesline, which I've already read about. That's not what we had at our house.
A ideia foi aproximar um pouco o bairro alto nas nossas mesas, porque se passaram pelo bairro e viram tanta roupa estendida. Então a experiência foi tentar fazer o bairro dentro do nosso próprio restaurante, a nossa própria casa.
The idea was to have, remembering Bairro Alto, the area where we are, it's a very typical area, Lisbon area, and you have all these clothes, underwears and everything
out,
so it's a very characteristic thing in Bairro Alto and Lisboa, and he wanted to take a salute to Bairro Alto in his cuisine, so he picked the codfish and he put it like the clothes in the
We're going to get pieces of codfish,
yes,
with clothespins.
Yes.
Oh, that's going to be hysterical.
Yes, it's one of the most important dishes now in Simonides.
It's important to note, listeners, that it's Monday, and although on the menu was in the Alfama district today, it was washing day there too.
I think Monday is washing day everywhere, but I'm looking at some of the other things. Now, you have cured ham and melon ravioli. Is that typical of the region?
Melão não é... comer-se melão na Península Ibérica toda é muito cultural, comer-se com presunto. Aqui a ideia é fazer um ravioli fechado em melão marinado, que leva um presunto de porco preto típico português, e simplificar um pouco o conceito de entrada.
It doesn't look like a Portuguese or typical dish, but if you look closer, you can see that in Portugal, and not only in Portugal, at summertime, we have this tradition. So it's an interpretation from Lubomir. He marinated the melon, and then he wrapped it on the ham. It's a porco ibérico, Porco Iberic ham. It's a very traditional in the Peninsula Iberica ham. So it's like a Portuguese traditional thing with this contribute.
Well, and you certainly have a very good representation of other bacalao dishes here, which is undeniably local and Portuguese and Lisbon, right? But you have your own touches because you have the Minha Brandada de Bacalao, translated as my own cod, brandad. What makes it your own?
Cultura de se comer próprio bacalhau em Portugal. Diz-se que existem mil e uma receita. Consegui repetir nenhuma, nem me apetecia fazê-la. Por isso, aproveitei umas das aparas, que se chamam roupas velhas, usadas muito no Natal, e fiz uma brandade em forma de espuma, que é uma receita antiga do Norte, interpretá-la como minha. É de maneira que eu gosto de comer o bacalhau.
Everyone is aware of the bacalhau typical thing in Portugal, like 100 ways to cook it. He has here two other ways. The first we talked about it, like the clothesline, and the second, the brandade. It's a mixture from two different dishes, Portuguese, very traditional dishes, like one, it's a Christmas time dish. It calls roupa velha. It's the lefts of the day before, the food of the day before, you
leftovers,
know?
Leftovers, right.
Okay. And the other is brandade. It's a very typical North Portugal recipe that he made in a foam and with his own touch.
Well, now, have you been in touch with the molecular gastronomy people?
Não, minha cozinha não é molecular de longe. É uma cozinha de sensações e de inspirações simples.
It's not a molecular cuisine. It's sensations and, how do you say?
Simple food.
Simple and personal kind of food. Not molecular style or, it looks like when you look at the menu. But then when you taste it, you are going to taste tonight. You'll see.
Well, I must say, you yourself present yourself as so genuine and straightforward and real. I'm really excited because I think that your food is going to be the same. Very genuine and real and very flavorful.
Molecular não vai ser de certeza. Vai ser uma cozinha simples. Que gostava que te explicasse que odeio rotular cozinhas. As minhas cozinhas são sempre feitas conforme o espírito e conforme o modo. Tanto que aceito que posso não fazer algo 100% e posso fazê-lo bem. E pode haver pequenos pormenores. Por isso é uma cozinha de sensações de uma pessoa que tenta fazer cada vez mais simples e chegar mais perto das pessoas do meu modo. Porque eu faço aquilo que eu gosto de comer, não é que os outros gostam.
He wants to say that it's his very own cuisine. He doesn't like the names.
I don't like labels.
Yeah, like labels. Yeah,
I'm sick of those labels and words.
He is very tired of it, and he doesn't fit in anything because it's a very personal cuisine. He feels and he makes. You know.
Yeah, now Peter's pulling on my sleeve, and he's saying he's also very passionate. Chef.
Yeah, it is. A very sexy style also, because he always says that he has very touching feeling when he cooks. So it depends on his disposition yesterday or tomorrow morning, and then the dish is going to be more sexy, less sexy.
So the menu changes, the menu is made up every morning. So it's not different every day, but it's different frequently.
Criamos receitas todos os dias, criamos receitas para essas inspirações, mas se mensalmente mudamos.
It's different every month, but all over the months, every day, he is going a recipe, more or less, because he remembers yesterday he made a new dish for another menu, not this one, because you remember that we had a
empada. I don't know. It's empada.
Like a pastel. He had chicken, and then he remembered a recipe he once proved, Portuguese one, and then he went to the kitchen and.
Is there something else that he would like particularly to tell people who might be considering coming here to eat about his restaurant?
Que se alguém quer vir ao restaurante, venha descontraído, como eles vieram, simplesmente, sem muitos módulos, e que venha com boa disposição. É isso que queremos propor às pessoas, um bom momento. Não só vir comer e olhar só pelo prato, mas sim pelo um bom momento.
The recommendation is like, come like Anne and Peter came.
Put out.
Informal, relaxed. Because the experience is not only a food experience here. He wants everyone to be like at home, nice, quiet, as you wish.
Well, I already love it. I'm very happy to be here. And Peter's tugging on my sleeve again.
No, I just want to deal with the parameters of getting here, because the parameters of getting here are
very difficult,
really quite remarkable.
It's very easy if you say.
I don't know why our hotel sent us on our way here with a cab driver who had no idea where the street was.
Yeah.
But it's
that's a mistake.
Almost the easiest place to find in the Barrio Alto in Lisbon, because if you come from the center of the city on the Elevador Gloria,
Santa Gloria,
where the Elevador stops on the right hand side, is a mirador, and if you cross the street at that point, I don't know the name of the crossing. I'm going to have Monica say that in just a second. And then you make a left if it's downhill or a right if it's uphill, and San Manieres is on the left-hand side, on the west side of the street. So that's the easiest way to get here. Otherwise, I guess tell a cab driver to take you to the mirador and get off and find yourself here the same way. Otherwise, you'll find yourself going around in circles, as we did with a cab driver who was local, asking 15 local people where the street was, and none of them knew.
Because it's a very small street, but if you say it's in Bairro Alto, nearby the Miradouro São Pedro de Alcântara, the name of the street is São Pedro de Alcântara, it's the street right next to it, like right beside it.
And the other,
it's very easy.
Other parameters, Monica, the website, and then what days of the week and what meal times you're open.
Okay, the website is restaurantesemmaneiras.com.
Spell out the numbers.
Sorry?
You spell out the numbers.
The numbers is 100 maneiras, 100 maneiras. We only close at Sundays, and we only do dinners because of the kind of restaurant.
So it's dinner at 8 p.m.?
8 p.m. till midnight, kitchen.
And any day of the week except Sunday?
Except Sunday.
I just want to ask the chef one more thing. Are you having a lot of fun cooking in Lisbon? Because the scene seems very vibrant here.
Tenho-me divertido não só cozinhar como viver e respirar Lisboa.
He's having lots of fun, not only cooking, but also breathing and living in Lisbon.
Love being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Time for another short pause.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back. You're, of course, listening to On the Menu with Anne and Peter Haig and a segment on Lisbon and a restaurant which we're going to feature twice. We're going to feature it this week because we had a wonderful opportunity to talk to the manager, who is a young French woman with a story of her own as to how she managed to get to Portugal to the most dramatically modern restaurant, certainly in Lisbon, a restaurant called Manifesto. And Juliette is going to tell us part of the story, and then we hope to catch up with traveling chef Luis in the next few days, and we'll feature him then in next week's program. So here's an introduction to Manifesto, and there'll be more to come.
This interview is going to be a little complicated because we have a lot of moving targets and different personalities. We're going to start off, though, by getting an overview of the concept of the restaurant that we're in called Manifesto. And we're going to be talking to Julie Perrineau, who actually is French, but she's been living in Lisbon, and she's also the manager of this restaurant. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you.
It's complicated to explain, but it sounds like so much fun. I mean, I can start with the decor of this restaurant, which has... I want the source of this material because I want to put it all over my tables. It's Italian and it's sort of like what, rubber?
This is kind of rubber. The interest was the light, the reflection on the table, so you can make some games with the lights as well.
And your chargers are vinyl records, old-time vinyl records.
He's really keen of music. I think he used to say that he has two big interests in life, gastronomy and music.
Okay, and you're talking about he. Now, that's what we need to focus on here, because he is Luis Baena, who is, can I say he's a celebrity chef?
Yes, definitely. Of course he is.
Okay, and this is his latest concept, right?
This is the last restaurant he opens, exactly.
Okay. He's been to many others. and he's a restaurant consultant
as well.
Mm-hmm. And I love his own manifesto,
mm-hmm.
which starts out with, if you like home cooking, stay home. I love it. Absolutely love it. Tell us a little bit about the concept of this restaurant.
The concept of the restaurant, I think it's about recreating gastronomy. He likes to provoke people as well. Lots of food he has in the menu. We have lots of finger foods. And the clients that come to this kind of restaurant are not used to that. They get a little bit uncomfortable with finger foods. And he's always trying to reinvent the concept of the Portuguese gastronomy as well. The base is simple, but then he's going to find another way to make it more funnier, for example, or more original.
And so he's witty, funny.
Yeah. It's really funny. Plays. It's really creative. The menus are changing every 2 months as well, so the client cannot get bored with the food. And concepts are different at lunch and at dinner as well, so that's quite interesting as well for clients.
What could we look for? I mean, it's going to be an adventure, right? What we eat tonight will be an adventure?
I think so. A challenge.
Where did he learn all the experimental?
I know that he used to travel a lot, not so in Europe, but as well in Asia, in America as well, South and North, in Africa. He used to be involved in lots of projects, so I think thanks to this mix of culture and experience.
Well, we're certainly going to be interviewing him. And,
mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
So what else would you like to tell us about the restaurant? Who comes here?
Every people comes here. I think this is so funny as a concept that we have really young clients from 20, 25 years old till, I don't know, 50, 60 years old. The base, I repeat, is Portuguese food. So all the Portuguese people like this kind of food. And then it's more regional, more funny, and so it can adapt to every age, every kind of persons.
So the traditionalists, the local Portuguese clientele, they love playing with the food concept.
Yeah, of course, they like it. Yeah, of course.
Oh, that's great.
And then we have a lot of foreigner clients as well, because the base is Portuguese, I was saying, but he has lots of influences from France, from Italy as well. We have some risotto in the menu, for example. So I think that's why he succeeds in attracting every kind of nationalities and ages.
Can't wait to interview him. His descriptions of the menu, for example, here he has, what's in Venio? Is that the...
In Venio, this is the name of one of the tasting menu of the new cards.
Okay, the new stuff. And he has Berliner, and it's a DIY, do-it-yourself, stuff it with spider crab, mayonnaise, breadcrumb, it with dehydrated shrimps, and mussels.
Yeah.
I mean, this sounds like hysterically fun.
This bread is quite funny as well, because imagine you get a small bread ball, and you have yourself to put the mayonnaise, the spider crab mayonnaise, inside the ball. So it's quite funny as well. You're going to see this plate later on.
Now, this interior is exciting, provocative.
Really provocative, irreverent.
And it's intended to be that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
So Anne mentioned a few things about it, but we have lots of sayings on the wall. To see the whole staircase,
just take the first step.
Just take the first step.
Here's aqui agora. Here.
Aqui agora. Right now, right here.
And people don't find that too startling when they come in? I mean, it was very eye-catching when we walked in. And I guess it's supposed to be that way.
How hard is it to get a reservation? Because it's a very small restaurant.
From the moment, we don't have any big problems. We even can manage to...
Because it's very new. When did you open?
December 2009.
Oh, shoot. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so filled with things that I just... I'll be able to talk more about it after I've eaten the food here. I mean, we have things called Stairway to Heaven. All the dishes you might find in the other set menus and more surprises from the Daily Inspiration. No limit of number of dishes. Feeling like? ? Courage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is that? That's $75. Is that a tasting menu?
75 euros.
I mean,
this is one of the most original menu we have, Stairway to Heaven. The chef will only stop to give you dishes when you say, I'm full, I cannot accept anymore. So, depending on your appetite, it can be 5, 10, or 15 dishes. It's really funny. and then you're going to find some typical dishes from the menu, and then all the product that you might have bought the day before because he thought that it was funny to have another fish, for example. So we also have some dishes that are not on the menu.
Right, so you're doing dishes of what's changing the menu to incorporate dishes
which
happen to be the things mm-hmm. that are in the market today, and you just can't miss them.
Here's one called coffee bacon. It isn't just a strange name for a very sweet and delicious pudding. Advice: tasting it might cause habituation. I think that means
addiction.
Addiction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Now, who writes this copy?
Chef Luis.
He does it himself.
Yeah, everything.
Well, I can't wait to meet him. I mean, he sounds just cool.
You won't get
and
bored.
Are you having a good time?
Oh, yeah, sure. I love being here.
You do?
Mm-hmm. It's a really good restaurant, good energy, people are really nice, the client, the staff as well. Everybody is really involved in the concept. If we have some ideas about, I'm not thinking about giving a recipe to the chef, but we can give our ideas about the ingredients or new cocktails to put on the list, for example. It's really open-minded for those kind of things. So it enables people as well to grow up, professionally speaking.
No, I think we ought, by the way, while we have the chance, give the website. How do people get in touch with you?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, the website?
The website is...
It's not finished for the moment. In a month, we're going to have the new website on.
But it will be by the time people hear that.
Ah, yeah, sure. Okay.
Okay, so what will that be?
www.manifest.com.
Com. And if there's any change, we will announce it on the subsequent
shows. I can
send
you an email. Yeah, I think that in a week I will know the final website.
Uh-huh. Anything else you'd like to tell our listeners about this restaurant?
No, I'd like really now for you to see the food because I think there isn't any better explanation than getting the dish in front of you so you can taste.
Well.
That's it. That's it for another exciting week.
And, didn't we have a lot of surprises at Manifesto, huh?
We had quite a number of surprises, yes, we did. And we'll talk to the chef about those in due course. So do join us next week, same time, same place. Until then.
Bye-bye.